Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. This is the football recruiting update. It's been a little busy at Illini Guys Central. We haven't had a chance to keep up on some of the doings that we have, Coach Bielma and his staff have done in terms of securing commits. We know they have a lot of recruiting that's going on here in the month of June. And Matt, so is a certain wrestling federation. The World Wrestling Entertainment, the WWE, has signed Luke Ford to a contract. Now, Matt, I know that you spend a lot of your time watching and just immersing yourself in the WWE.
Let me cut you off, Mike Hagley, because I think you watch it a lot more than I do, and you're significantly older than I am, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is a really good move. For Luke, he's got the personality. You need to have a little bit of je ne sais quoi to be able to get the fans pumped up. I think he has the personality that's necessary. And he's certainly a good enough athlete. Now he may have to make the look a little bit better, go more bodybuilding as opposed to athletic, but this may be it. You know, the bottom line is when you have the yellow and the red, plenty of wrestlers have worn those two colors, but there's only one Hulk Hogan. Maybe Luke Ford will be one of those types.
There are times in which I think Luke Ford tends to be a little full of it. And I think this is the best place for him to show that. But to your point, if you were to do a strongman competition for everybody on the roster, Luke would be right up there. So, I mean, from a physicality standpoint, if he has to go to whatever performance center they have him go to, he'll be fine. From a physicality standpoint, I know those guys suffer a lot of injuries, and that would be a concern of mine for Luke. I think it's a hell of an opportunity for Luke if and when he decides he doesn't want to play football anymore. And knowing Luke like I do, that day's not soon ahead. Luke wants to play football for a long, long time. And I do think Luke's going to get an opportunity at the professional level simply because I think he's going to wow some people in a combine situation. And he's going to wow some people specifically from like what the WWE is already wowed about from his physical makeup. I saw him. I actually spoke and saw to Luke at the prospects camp this past weekend. And he hasn't gotten himself out of shape. I mean, he's ready to go, and there's a lot to be said for that. And, I from an NIL perspective, I'm happy for Luke. You know, anytime he can put some money in his pocket, and Lord knows, based off of the publicly traded stock price of WWE, they have money.
Yes, they do.
So anytime Luke can put some money in his pocket simply by doing something like that, I would have thought the hometown boy, Mr. Tony Khan, would have been a little bit more interested, but I do think there could be a potential bidding war for Luke Ford's services to potentially, because we all know Tony's going to do some shows with the rival AEW at State Farm Center again. So that could be a bidding war as time goes on here, as Luke progresses through whatever performance center they want to put him through or whatever. But I can tell you that I've talked to Tim Ford. I've talked to Luke. That is way far down the future right now. I'm happy as hell for him, but he wants to play professional football, and I think he's going to get a chance to.
No, maybe we'll get a good 10-year career in as a tight end, get some attraction for future recruits to come to Illinois, and then he can go do WWE.
There's a lot to be said that Luke Ford is Illinois' version of Gronk. Yeah. I mean, if you really want to put it together, and if I'm not mistaken, Gronk has dipped his toe into that water, I think was during his semi-retirement that didn't last very long. But yeah, I mean, I've always joked that Luke Ford from numerous levels is Illinois' version of Gronk. And so he will have a career doing something athletic long after his football career is over.
Yeah. Those, those short retirements are now the big thing. Tom Brady, sure. You know, had his 2-month long retirement only to be one up by Tyson Fury, who admitted, you know, the heavyweight champion, who's decided his retirement's over as well.
I think anybody that knows Luke, Mike, knows that this isn't a shock. Like that, not only that you know, WWE would be interested in him, but that he might be interested in that avenue later on in life. Like, anybody that's known Luke for about 2 seconds could understand that it's probably a match. You know, if it's not made in heaven, it's darn close. So,
yep. And if he needs a manager, Luke,
yeah, I'm happy for him.
I've got decades of experience watching WWE. I would be the perfect manager.
Cool.
So let's switch over now to real life.
Sure.
We got 4 recruits recently, so I'm going to tick them back kind of in reverse order. Okay. Have you give us a little bit of your thoughts about it, and I'll ask you some questions. But
sure.
Offensive tackle Rico Jackson. So why should Illinois fans be excited by this signing or commitment? I'm sorry.
Because it's a massive human being that athletically does things that a 300 pounder shouldn't be able to do, quite frankly. I think that he is well on his way, just potential wise, to looking exactly like Velo looked, you know, this past fall and this past spring as he's preparing for the NFL draft. I mean, he has that physicality and he has the athleticism as, you know, a somebody who, you know, you would think would be a multi-sport athlete, even at 300 pounds. You would think he'd be, you know, a field event guy in a track and field program at you know, his high school. Has the makeup to just be somebody that would excite Bart Miller, the offensive line coach at Illinois, as an offensive tackle. And Illinois continues to revamp that room with, you know, already big bodies that are going to come in at 18, 19 years old. You get him in a weight room situation with Tank for a couple of years, but the athleticism is already there. And I think it's a major pickup for Illinois simply because you're taking, again, the recruiting footprint now includes Florida still, with the help of George McDonald, Aaron Henry, the DB coach, Bart Miller being able to go down there and seal the deal. And being able to get the young man on campus and having him be, you know, enticed enough at the U of I to shut it down and not go to any of his other 4 possible visits. This is a Big Ten athlete that you needed to get. And I think that it revives the depth that Bart Miller and Brett Bielema are trying to build on that offensive line.
Yeah. And certainly if you were going to take a team picture, you know, next year, any of the pre-Bielema linemen would need to be in the front so that they can be totally seen, because you get these Brett Bielema linemen, they're big. I mean,
you take the 22 signees, the class of 2022 signees, and then you take these, we're going to get into a couple, another one tier, but you take these 2023 commitments on the offensive line. I'm sorry, but based off of the last decade, this team is a hell of a lot better get off the bus team. It looks a hell of a lot better getting off the bus. Now it's the job of Bart Miller and it's the job of Brett Bielema to develop that talent. But as we all know in the Big Ten, there ain't a whole lot of true freshmen playing on the offensive line. Lovie Smith tried that his first year and got absolutely drubbed his first couple of years because he was playing 18, 19 year olds on his offensive line. Brett Bielema is not planning on doing that, but he is planning on, you know, completely 180 degree, you know, changing over the offensive line. And that includes how they look and in terms of height, weight, athleticism. And I think he's done a hell of a job with these 22 signees, the 5 freshmen and the 2 JUCO transfers. And then these commitments that have come down the pike in the 23 class that I think are slowly headlining this group. If not, you know, if there wasn't a 4-star athlete like Caden Fagan, who we've talked about, and, you know, a big-time defensive player who we're going to get to today.
Yep. Well, next up is defensive end, or at least defensive player. Definitely a guy who's a little bit of a Swiss Army knife here. Pat Farrell, what can you tell us about him?
It's a big get, I think, simply because, again, it builds the bridge that Brett Bielema was trying to build with suburban Chicago, the Chicagoland area. And, quite frankly, Terrence Jameson needs to get into, the city of Chicago and make some headway. And I think Pat Farrell does that for a lot of reasons. They were able to go into Joliet Catholic last year and get Jordan Anderson and Malachi Hood. This just kind of adds to it. I think there's a lot to be said for, you know, Brett Bielema trying to establish some good, not only goodwill, but trying to get the best players out of, you know, the Chicagoland area. Pat Farrell certainly fits that bill. Now, is he an outside linebacker? Is he a defensive end? I don't know. I think he's going to start with Kevin Kane's group at offense outside linebacker because I think he's that athletic and that talented. And I think the speed plays at what they want to do at outside linebacker. But I think if they wanted to blow him up and have him play defensive end in that 3-4, he could do that as well. But I foresee him starting in a 2-point stance and being a pass rusher out of Kevin Kane's group and out of that outside linebacker group. And I've seen tape on him, Mike, that is just phenomenal. And from an athletic standpoint, as big as he is, which is about 245, almost 250 pounds, he'll arrive for, next year, probably at about 255. And that's a good starting point for, hey, just getting a sprinter stance and go get the quarterback kind of deal. And I think that Illinois needs more athletes like Pat. And I think Farrell does a really good job of finishing off tackles. And there's video that I've put out there on Twitter of him just absolutely, nailing a kid into next week. He has that big hit, mentality that you need. And I think it's an underrated kid simply because I think if this kid was in the Atlanta area, I think he'd be a 3.5, maybe 4-star prospect. The fact that, he's a quote unquote Midwest kid and doesn't really get a whole lot of shine. I don't really understand it, but I think Illinois, again, with their evaluation and them trusting what they like beyond whatever the national evaluators tell everybody else, I think Pat Farrell's a kid you take. And I think he can be a very, very good in-state prospect that can build the foundation of what you're going to want to build in the city of Chicago and the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of Eric Kumerow when I look at him.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
That's one from the past, but Kumerow is the same thing coming out. What is he going to play? Is he going to play defensive end? Is he going to play linebacker? Could he play tight end? Could he play quarterback? I mean, this guy could play anywhere on the football field because he was a football player.
And yeah, Farrell's, there's a lot to be like said that. For that. You get a Malachi Hood out of Joliet Catholic. Don't know if he's a safety. Don't know if he's a linebacker. Well, Andy Booth thinks he's a linebacker, so they figured it out. Everybody told Jordan Anderson he wasn't a tailback. I saw him in the spring. By God, he's a tailback, and I don't care that he's 250 pounds. He's exactly what Brett Bielema wants. Everybody told Henry Boyer that he was too slow to be a tight end. And he was too, quite frankly, he was too big to be a tight end. Everybody wanted to add weight on him so he could maybe play offensive tackle. Brett Bielema looked at him and was like, that's tight end. He can play for me. And I think Brett Bielema, by saying to these kids, hey, I'm going to let you fail at what you want to do before we change you, has really made a lot of inroads in the city of Chicago, because there's a lot of spectacular athletes that are tweener type bodies because they play multiple sports, especially in the Chicago Catholic League. Like Pat is at St. Rita, the Joliet Catholic kids, Henry Boyer comes out of Brother Rice. Illinois and Terrence Jameson's doing a heck of a job in the Chicago Catholic League. And as we all know, there's a guy in the Illinois Hall of Fame that's hopefully going to be in the College Football Hall of Fame named Simeon Rice, who came out of the Chicago Catholic League. And he was pretty under recruited as well. And he turned out to be a pretty darn good football player.
Yeah, and let's cast aspersions here, but how can you call it a College Football Hall of Fame if Simeon Rice isn't in it?
If Simeon Rice and Kevin Hardy aren't in it in the next couple of years, I don't know how they have it in Atlanta. I really don't. It's they used to have it in South Bend. It's now in Atlanta. I don't know how, because Kevin Hardy's a Buckus Award winner. He needs to go in. Simeon Rice is a kid that, there are a lot of people who still cover the University of Illinois that didn't know how good of a player he was going to be coming out of the Chicago Catholic League. And he was a heck of a football player. And Denny Marson, the late Denny Marson, knew exactly what kind of a football player he was. I get the sense that Kevin Kane and Brett Bielema know exactly the kind of football player that Pat Farrell is. And it's kind of the same type of deal here.
Now, the next guy up is Jamarian Harkless. And this kid is a guy that instantaneously I was excited about. He's a type of guy that has so much talent that we'll probably have to keep re-recruiting him because everybody else is going to keep doing that. tell us a little bit about him and what makes him so special.
Mike, when I covered Auburn and I covered Mississippi State, this is the kind of athletes that would walk through the door as 18 and 19 year olds. And this kid can make an impact at Illinois' defensive front the minute he walks in the door. This kid is a legit 300 pounds. He is a legit athlete that can go sideline to sideline. And he's a guy that can get vertically up the field at the nose tackle, the defensive tackle position. He is somebody, and I don't want to put too much on this kid. I never do, but I'm going to go ahead and do it for him because he's that talented. And I'll say it the same thing I said about Caden Feagan when he, you know, committed to Illinois out of Arthur, that I think he can have a direct impact somewhere on the football field the minute that he shows up on campus. You talk about him being the offensive star of this class already. Harkless is the defensive star of this class because I think he can make an immediate impact even as a 19-year-old immediately walking in the door at that defensive tackle position. And that's saying something because he's going to go up against 22 and 23-year-old men in the Big Ten, and I think he can hold his own in the same way that Johnny Newton as a true freshman held his own, in the same way Keith Randolph held. And I keep thinking about the idea of putting that young man in between the law firm of Randolph and Newton. And I think that it can be a really big boom for Terrence Jamison on that defensive line. This Illinois team has, with the losses that they have suffered and having to go into the transfer portal at defensive tackle, especially this spring, they had a major, major void, not only at defensive line, but at interior defensive line in this class. Harkless solves a whole bunch of problems. First of all, he's the first defensive line recruit that has committed to Brett Bielema's as an Illini program since he took the job. It's just been a chasm of guys that have passed on Illinois. And if you're at Illinois, Mike, and you know this, it's really hard to go find Midwest kids who can play defensive line and make an impact immediately out here. If you want to recruit the South, you have a better chance. If you want to recruit out West, you probably have a better chance. But the Midwest has become a drought of defensive line kids that can immediately come in and make an impact. And I think some high-level Big Ten programs, your Ohio States, your Michigans, your Penn States have figured that out. You know, the Bosas are from Florida. You know, Michigan went into New Jersey and got a whole bunch of guys that are first-round draft picks on their defensive line. And I say that to say that I think Harkless can make an impact. And I know this because there are certain schools who were in the college football playoff this past season who wanted his services and still want him very badly, including the defending national champions at Georgia, including, you know, Florida, including what Mark Stoops is building defensively at Kentucky, really close to where he goes to school in Lexington, including what Scott Satterfield's trying to get off the ground at Louisville, and including at Ole Miss, where they like to go get that shark. The Shark Tank defensive line that they have over there at Ole Miss, they like to go get the quarterback too. And you are absolutely right, Mike Cagley. This kid is going to have to be re-recruited and re-recruited and re-recruited. If you're an Illinois fan, you cannot feel comfortable about Harkless's commitment. I've said this before, I'll say it again, until he signs paperwork in November or in February. Because just let Georgia miss on a couple kids, in-state kids on their defensive line. Let Ole Miss miss a couple of kids, and let Louisville miss on a couple of their targets. Now, they're not going to stop recruiting him. That hype train continues all the way through. It's going to be a marathon to keep this kid committed to Illinois. And he seems like he has said everything the right way. And I'm not trying to besmirch him and his family. If he wants to shut it down, he is absolutely able to do that. I'm just telling you that the intensity with these SEC schools and how they recruit people, Illinois got a big recruiting win right now. And there's going to now be several months of trying to flip this kid to several schools because unlike basketball and baseball, Mike, the recruiting doesn't stop when you commit. And I know a lot of people will scoff at this, but unless there's a coaching change in basketball, typically when kids commit, that's it. They're done. And coaches just move on. In football, they do not move on. He is not going to stop getting phone calls. He's not going to stop getting mail. And quite honestly, he may not stop getting coaches knocking at the front door. This kid is that good, and I think he can play right away as a true freshman. It is the most impactful recruit that Brett Bielema has gotten on the defensive end since he's taken over at Illinois. And I think Illinois fans just need to kind of be on edge until he signs paperwork in November.
Yeah, let's get him to sign in November, and let's get him here to school in January so that next fall he's like ready to go be all Big Ten in his freshman year. That sounds like
there's no doubt that he has the potential to do that, Mike. Absolutely.
Yep. So the last one is one of the more intriguing guys. Kind of remind me a little bit of the gunslinger, Brett Favre. But we've got a quarterback here, Cal Swanson, who is a kid who is quite the athlete, but hasn't got a lot of looks from other big college football programs.
Yeah, I you've got to trust the evaluation of Barry Lenny Jr. on this. You just have to. Because if you don't, you're sitting around wondering why this commitment is happening when there's a lot of other uncommitted 2023 quarterbacks that are out there that Illinois has offered that essentially look, Illinois only takes one quarterback per year. Brett Bielema has said publicly repeatedly, he does not like taking multiple quarterbacks in a recruiting class. I think a lot of schools have been burned by the idea of trying to flirt while they have a quarterback commitment. I don't see Illinois doing that. I think Cal Swanson is going to be their quarterback. Now, having said that, it's an interesting take, and I'll say it that way. I think the kid's got boatloads of talent. I really do. But it says to me that Barry thinks this offense is going in a direction that I fundamentally didn't see it going. And what I mean by that is I think there's going to be more shotgun now later on as we progress through year two and year three of Barry running this offense. I think there's going to be more RPO stuff. I think there's going to be more athletic quarterback stuff going on. This is not where I saw this offense going when Barry was hired. It did not where this offense was going as Brett Bielema kind of tried to put his fingerprints more on this offense. It's more like what Brett said the offense was going to look like when he was sitting in his car after being hired on College game day. And so I understand, you know, if that's where high school football is headed, then you probably need to head there yourself. The problem I have with this take, if I have any problem with it at all, is that it is a developmental player. I think Illinois fans, I think basketball has a lot to do with this, at least 2 years. And I know that's hard for Illinois fans to understand. It's hard for Illinois fans to concept that, you know, hey, our quarterback play has been really bad lately. I mean, quite frankly, why can't this kid come in and be ready to go right away? Well, it's the most important position on the field, and it's the most it's the most physically demanding and mentally demanding position on the field. And there are things that I think he needs to work on physically before he's ready to play in a Big Ten game. I wish he used his lower body more to help him throw because his right arm is unbelievably long and talented. And he's got everything you would ask for in terms of arm strength. But I think that he just likes to take off and run. And I understand it. When you're sixth in the state of Oklahoma in the 400 meter dash in the entire state, you probably like your feet just as much as you like your arm. He's going to realize real, real quick that his arm's going to get him through a lot more than his legs because his legs are going to get him hurt. And so again, this is Illinois is the only Power Five school to offer him. Illinois is the only Power Five school to get him on campus. What that tells me is that Barry has to be trusted on this because he sees something that can be developed over time. And when you talk about that quarterback room now, you've got multiple years of Art Sitkowski. You've obviously got five to play four with Donovan Leary. And you've got a redshirt kid, you know, that the people are really, really excited about. That can come in and with Donovan Leary and potentially be that guy. And you've got a couple of years out of Ryan Johnson as well. So the quarterback room is stable if Cal Swanson's able to kind of sit back and learn and be able to, you know, process everything along with the physical stuff that Barry's going to have to get him worked on. But the potential is there. The kid's got a cannon of a right arm. He's got the ability to escape and use his athleticism if he has to. There are just fundamental things that just aren't there right now that maybe will show up in his senior year of high school and maybe show up this summer when he goes to 7-on-7s. It's not a bad take. It's just if you're asking me, I think Cal Swanson would have been there to take in August if you'd struck out on some of the other guys that are out there. Barry didn't want to wait that long. I understand that because, you know, Illinois played that game with Jimmy Rolder last year over at Marist.
Yeah.
Got a whole bunch of activity and a whole bunch of attractive suitors, and he ended up at Michigan. I'm understanding that they didn't want to do that with Cal Swanson. I think it's a good quarterback get. It's a project. A lot of people said Kirk Kittner was a project when, you know, a certain head coach at Illinois took him, and Ron Turner ended up going, winning a Big Ten title and going to a Sugar Bowl with that quarterback. So if there are times in which project quarterbacks end up doing quite well, and in the era of the transfer portal, having a quarterback be able to sit back for a few years and learn and not have a massive ego and be willing to do that kind of suits what you want to do as a program builder that Brett Bielema always says this program will be based in.
So the last question I have is sure. There anything on the horizon that you think is coming here in the month of June? I know it's a high intensity, high activity time for the coaching staff. Any thoughts?
Yeah. There's a story already up on Illini guys on a tight end prospect named Nathan Ginn. I sat and talked with him and his high school coach from Vero Beach. Was shocked as hell that somebody from Vero Beach, Florida was at this open public camp.
Yep.
Turns out I wasn't shocked why he was here. Mike, when you see 90 so plus kids in a public camp, prospects camp like there was last weekend, he's 6'6" and 220 pounds and being split out wide receiver and a tight end. He made an impact. Like, he's like, oh, he made me go, oh, who's that? And quite frankly, he made George McDonald go, who's 15? Like, yelled out, you know, 15, what's your name? And an hour later, he's offered a scholarship. I think that's somebody that you could see in this 2023 class pretty quickly, because he's a converted tight end. He's played his first 2 years at defensive end and outside linebacker. And they have a lot of talent at Vero Beach. They've made the class 8A playoffs each and every year. They convert him to tight end because I think I saw his hands and I'm like, I thought this kid had been playing wide receiver or tight end his whole life. So I think that's a kid that could end up in this 2023 class. I think Illinois needs to now survive. It's interesting, Mike. They had so many kids. I think they had almost 13, 14 kids at this first official visit weekend on the first weekend of June. What Illinois needs to do now is survive some kids' trips. And what I mean by that is Frederick Moore, the kid out of St. Louis, the wide receiver, who Illinois really, really wants real badly. He just took a trip to Michigan. He'll be at Michigan State this weekend. He needs to survive. Illinois needs to survive those two trips and then lock it and then try to get him committed and locked down probably at the end of June. I think that's what they're doing a lot of these next couple of weekends. I think they're also trying to identify some underlying kids. And I think that they're going to try to lock those down. So I think you could see a couple of commitments this weekend. It's a lot shorter list of kids that are on this visit. I'm thinking the last weekend in June will be a similar half dozen that will show up. But also understand it's also going to be a smaller class too, just because of the 85 and how everybody's going to try to get around the 85 now. You're looking at Malik Elzey, you're looking at Frederick Moore at wide receiver, and you're looking to see if Illinois can get any more athletes at that position, because that is the position that they are the most badly in need of right now. And George McDonald, and I think everybody on the Illinois staff knows that.
Perfect. So that was Matt Stevens, the Illini Guys beat writer, staff writer, who covers a little bit of everything, focuses on football. But you can also see he had some excellent coverage, obviously all basketball season, but got a lot of golf in and baseball this spring as well. So Matt, thanks a lot. And of course, if you enjoyed what you heard here, you can read Matt on IlliniGuys.com. The subscription is only $100 a year. It is a great place to go, especially if you go back into the message boards where we can kind of show you how the sausage is made and kind of give you some of the rumors and some of the things that we can't put down as a story because no one will be quoted as a source. But there's a lot to know. There's a lot of things going on. And if you just read the newspaper articles, you get about 25% of it. So the tip of the iceberg is what you get. And there's a lot of ice underneath those bergs. Also, if you look at it, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's a weekly 2-hour sports radio show across the state of Illinois. There are 29 stations, soon to be 30 when Quincy jumps on board. We have a fantastic show that is 2 hours of laughs, and it's all about the Illini. You don't have to worry about listening to the 9 millionth time that the ESPN guys get so excited that the Yankees are playing the Red Sox. We don't care. Neither do people from Illinois. So that radio show is fantastic. Check IlliniGuys.com. Go to the radio button and take a look at the city and the day and the time that we are on in your neck of the woods. And please tune us in and listen. And, of course, we have our other podcasts. You're listening to Eye on the Illini with me, Mike Kegley. We also have the Sturdy for 30, which is Brad Sturdy. It's our flagship podcast. He has a lot of fantastic guests on there. And we have Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where Ked will talk to coaches, players, and parents who are being recruited so that you get the other side of the story, not just who the coaches are looking for, but what it's like to be recruited. It's a lot of fun. So with that, folks, we will let you go. Thank you for listening to us. Go Illini.